It's not me that's living. It's Christ who lives on the inside of me. What do you mean by that? He said, I'm trying every day of my life to walk like Christ. I'm trying every day of my life to talk like Christ. I'm trying every day of my life to act like Christ. At the old Paul that you used to know, that Paul is dead. Praise God. We need to kill some of these old Joes and these old Susies and these old Sallys too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And say old Joe Martin is dead, but I'm living. But you know it's not me, but it's Christ who lives on the inside of me. I'm going to allow him. That's what you call gentleness. But not only is it gentle, praise God, the verse, you continue to read the verse. Amen. The verse says that it is patient. Woo-wee. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Long suffering means patient. You see, patience is the spirit that bears insult without bitterness or complaint. There are some believers who are not patient with themselves.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville. Dr. Carl Armstead, Sr., pastor. Join our pastor as he preaches and teaches the Word of God.
God our Father, in the name of Jesus we come. We want to thank you now for everything that have gone on thus far. We thank you for the prayers that have gone before the throne of grace and the song of the praises. And we thank you for these your people. And now we just ask that you would grant us a fresh anointing of your spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It's in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. To our associates and the person of Reverend Hurd and Smith, and to our minister of music, deacons, officers, and members, and especially those who are visiting with us this morning. We thank God for your presence. I had a good time listening at the latest on yesterday. And after listening to them, that theme kept ringing in my head.
Yes.
Although I'm not going to develop your theme, but I want to step off of it. Amen. And I would that you turn with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This isn't something you haven't heard. It's just something you didn't get the first time. You're going to get it this time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. And we want to read verse number 14 through 17 with the emphasis on verse number 14, where we draw our subject. Everybody got to say amen. Anybody still looking, say hold on. Okay. We're going to hold on. Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. All right. I assume we're together. Verse 14 of the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians said, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create into himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And for a little while, we won't talk about tearing down those middle walls. Tearing down those middle walls. Let me begin by saying that, as I've already said, I thought about the women theme for their conference and Women Day program, women working in unity and peace, carrying out his mandate. And, you know, I believe that the greatest challenge to unity and peace in any auxiliary or the church as a whole is the many little invisible barriers that keeps us separated in the body of Christ. And therefore, because of this, the church is weakened. The Holy Spirit is grieved, and the testimony of the church is marred. And might I remind us that the Bible says that one of the main tactics of our enemy, the devil, is to divide and conquer. That's why Jesus said to us in Matthew 12:25, he says, every house divided against itself, amen, is brought to desolation. And that means every house, your house, my house, the church house, the White House, any house, will not stand. And a divided house will have no unity, nor will a divided house have peace, because where there's unity, there is peace. And even more, where there is peace, there has to be some unity, because both go hand in hand, and you can't have one without the other. And so as we make our way to the text this morning, as we talk to you from the subject, tearing down those middle walls, now the first half of this second chapter of Ephesians, we note that our author, Apostle Paul, deals with what Jesus has done for the sinner in general. But in this second half, where we draw our text and subject, he deals with the Jew and Gentile in particular. Because in the church at Ephesus, there was a rift between the Jews and the Gentiles concerning circumcision and the law. And so in the text, Apostle Paul addresses that division by showing that Jesus had done away with these things that brought about the division, namely the law and its regulations. And he did it by his sacrificial death on the cross. And the text says that he became our peace by tearing down the middle wall of separation that divided Jew from Gentile. And so now he has created in himself one new man, namely the Christian church. But now, having said all of that, we must remember that the Jews were the covenant people, because God hadn't made a messianic covenant with the Gentiles, but he made it with the Jews. And so the Jews had the law of Moses, which was really to protect them from pagan corruption. But now the Jews misunderstood the purpose of the law, and therefore they felt superior, and they looked down on the Gentiles as being inferior. And not only that, the Jews had been there for a long time, and the Gentiles had just gained entrance. And I believe you can understand that, because it's like in the church when perhaps a new member joins. And many times, no matter what talent, what ability, or what gift that they may have, there's always somebody talking about they just got here. They got to wait that turn to do this or to do that, to move into that the position, even though the one that's complaining can't do the job themselves. And so before Christ came, the temple at Jerusalem was divided. It was divided both physically and spiritually, because everyone was behind a wall. But now the wall caused division, and the wall caused strife, because it caused husbands to be separated from their wives, men from women, and Gentiles, Jews from Gentiles, which only brought about division and strife, as well as a lack of peace. But the text says that Jesus brought these two antagonistic groups together and has now formed one new name, namely the Christian church. But now, having said all of that, I need to tell us that walls are important, because they are a part of the biblical legacy. And that's why the Bible said that it was the prophet Isaiah who said that a watchman ought to sit on the city wall. And his job was to warn the folk on the inside of approaching danger, as well as the danger that lurked within. Then there was Nehemiah, who while in exile got the news that somehow the walls around the city and the old temple had fallen down, and the gates had been destroyed by fire. And so he got permission from the king to go back home in order to repair the walls and restore the gates to their former position. But my brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that walls can be some funny things, because not only do they affect our lives emotionally and mentally, but they also affect our lives psychologically. Because as humans, we are guilty of creating these little walls, these little invisible barriers in our own lives. But now we do this in order to shut folk out. In other words, these little invisible barriers that we create in our lives are there to protect you from me and me from you. And therefore, I can't see your weakness and you can't see mine. And so to shield, protect, and defend ourselves, we build up these little walls, these little invisible barriers in our lives. But now the walls prevents communication, meaning I can possibly hear you talking, but because the wall is there, I can't understand what you're saying. But now if I can't understand what you're saying, then there is no communication. And where there is no communication, there can only be division and strife. Moreover, the walls also prevent sight, meaning they act as a barrier to keep me from seeing you and you from seeing me. But now, if I can't see you, I can't sense you, nor can I appreciate or understand you, because as long as that wall is there, I'm unable to see the smile on your face, and so I can't participate in your joy. As long as that wall is there, I can't see the tears flowing down your cheek, and so I'm insulated from your pain. I'm insulated from your hurt. So as long as that wall is there, you've got a defense mechanism, meaning I can't see you, nor can I hear or understand you, which means our relationship is incomplete. Because I haven't sought to share with you, and you haven't sought to legitimately share with me. And therefore, as long as that wall is there, there will always be separation. And where there is separation, there is no peace. And where there is no peace, there is no unity. But there's only division and strife. And so we've got to tear down those middle walls. But now the question question of the hour is, are you aware of the middle wall in your life? I'm talking about those little invisible barriers that's causing division and strife in your life, that's causing division and strife in your relationships, in your marriage, in your home, and especially in the church. Because my brothers and sisters, these little invisible barriers that we build up in our lives, I need to tell you that they are destructive to the very purpose and priority of the church.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's